Have you ever been reading a celebrity pastor's blog posts or listening to a famous Bible teacher and something jumps out to you and you're just like, how am I the only person seeing this thing? Why isn't anyone talking about it? Well, you're not alone. Welcome to Underdog Theology. This podcast is about looking at what's happening in evangelicalism. I'm talking tweets, I'm talking books, blogs, videos, all of it, and judging it according to Scripture. Whether that's reacting to celebrity pastors, teasing about the latest ridiculous battle in the culture war, or just having a little bit of fun together, this show is for all the folks who feel like they're on the outside looking in, who feel like they don't have a voice, who feel like they're an underdog. Welcome to Underdog Theology. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Underdog Theology, the show that is still alive after all this time. 96 episodes in, we're still going strong-ish. It's been a weird couple of weeks. I appreciate everyone being patient about the pod. We've been streaming when we can, just trying to do some random streams. Today, though, we're getting back to business. We got some business to take care of. And I'm sorry, Luke Daly. It's about your homeboy, your brother from another mother. We're talking about Johnny Pipes today. I watched this video from Desiring God a handful of years ago. I have my opinions. Looking forward to hearing yours. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah, I've got some opinions about John Piper. There's an old clip that's going around, Luke saying like he watched it years ago. Me too. And a lot of people who were familiar with the Mars Hill stuff, we all watched it back in like, I think it came out in 2015. But this weekend, there's like a whole nother generation of online Christians who are just like finding some of these videos and different things. Like there was the slap video from Piper that went around a couple months ago, and that was new to a lot of people. For a lot of us, we had already heard about that stuff. But, we need to dive into these things because, again, we're dealing with a culture right now. Like, they're talking about the great de-churching, the great reset, the great, like, I don't know why everything is so great, but they're always saying it's the greatest, and it's this huge movement. But it is true. There are people who are leaving the church, people who have, I'm going to use a word that people might not like, but being disenchanted with the church. For a long time, the church was part of society. Like it was just part of how we did things as Christians, how we lived our lives. We would just go to church and everyone just assumed that everyone went to church. That is no longer the case. Society is no longer supporting the church in that way, or at least pushing that this is a normal thing, a normal routine for the average North American, at least. That's the context we're at. I'm here in Canada. A lot of you guys are in the States. So that's the context that we're dealing with, not necessarily talking about everywhere all around the world, but we're talking about North America and a lot of people, because there is no like incentive from society to go to church, meaning that you're like an upstanding individual or a capable adult. For a long time, that's what it kind of seemed like. And now that's no longer the case. And so there are a lot of people who are leaving church. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the clip. We'll put it in its context, because I feel like a lot of people have taken it out of its context. So we're going to be dealing with it. It's important. Here's one, though. Guys, I'm going to really try to not be super emotional about this one. My buddy Jeremy Collins sent this thing on our little creator group chat. And I have a lot of strong feelings about a clip that we're about to watch. If you have children who have any kind of neurodivergence or any kind of disability, anything like that, I'm just going to say trigger warning. Trigger warning. I don't usually do this, but this is just so horrific to me. But it's also, I feel, something very important for churches today that we need to understand what is going on in some places within Christian circles. And we'll watch the clip, and then we'll talk a little bit more about how it actually matters, not just in this little context, although it's not that little. Let's take a look over here. Maybe some of you guys saw this. This is going around. I saw a little bit of what is it? I Bible. I don't know. It's something about like Apple stuff, like I and then whatever. That guy did a video about it. I have a few issues with the way that was done. We'll talk a little bit about that, I guess, as we go through. Let's just watch this. And again, trigger warning. This is something that's near and dear to my heart, though, so we're going to talk about it.
God is setting you free right now. Is there anything you wanted to renounce?
I want to renounce a generational curse. My child is autistic, and he has no brains at all. Like, we've tried everything, and I've gone through deliverance before, and it's just so hard to break this curse.
God is breaking this generational curse right now. Thank you, Jesus. His power is here right now. It is time now for your deliverance and your family's deliverance. I break every generational curse off of you, off of this whole family. And I detach this family and you from what you spoke. I declare every spirit attached, every spirit of witchcraft, every spirit of mental illness. I declare on three, all must leave him in Jesus' name. One, two, three. Free. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. His power is enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I declare to your son, I declare freedom to him. I declare creative miracles in his mind now. In Jesus' name.
I declare miracles in his mind right now. All right, so this is Apostle Catherine Crick. I guess she's a big deal in like the deliverance world. I don't know if she's one of the demon slayers in the movies, but she is from that world. And this is actually at Hillsong. Like, she is in that orbit. Okay. Well, like, this is not some weirdo in a corner. She is a weirdo. But this isn't just like some random person. She is like getting on stages and she's doing this. And then I started looking her up. All right. I am the father of an autistic son. This is a very important issue to me. And I started looking her up and I just did a little search. And oh, what do we got here?
Cover me how you want.
Another video.
Heal me how you want.
I don't like showing videos with kids, but I feel like this one's important, so we're going to leave it.
Thank you, Jesus. It's okay. Come here, your mom.
And this has 185,000 views, guys.
Thank you, Jesus. Is there anything in your past generations that were any religion besides Christianity in their past generations? Sometimes with the Catholic religion, it can be witchcraft being done, like praying to saints who are dead. It is a form of witchcraft, and it can be an open door, and even certain rituals. So do you want to now just say, I renounce witchcraft that is attached to me or that I participated in through Catholic?
I renounce any witchcraft I have participated in through my religion. Anything came through my mom's side, mom being abusive.
I detach you from all of that that you've renounced, and I break every generational curse in Jesus'
name. Say it, RJ.
Off of you, off of your family, off of him now. And I detach him from autism and every diagnosis put upon him. And I declare on three, every spirit attached to what she renounced, every spirit of autism and mental sickness must leave in Jesus' name. One, two, three.
Okay, I leave.
Demon speaking, because we know that.
I don't know what just happened.
just set you free, honey. Jesus just set you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
This kid doesn't know what to do because he's autistic. And all these people are clapping at him, saying that a part of him is now gone. And so now he's healed. Jesus has healed you, hon.
And set you free.
Why is my mom crying?
Yeah, good question.
Why is my mom crying?
Honest question from a kid. What's going on?
Because Jesus did a miracle.
What is happening? Oh, that must mean that the demon is
left. Oh, thank Jesus Christ. So the problems that you faced in life.
This is evil.
God.
This is just flat out evil. And it keeps on happening. I've seen video after video of people like this. We saw it with Greg, whatever his face, down there in his tent talking about how autism is satanic. There's nothing in scripture that gives you any kind of idea that anyone who is neurodivergent is that way because of sin, in that, you know, like there's a generational curse, or there's some kind of thing that happened, a sinful situation that led to this child being different. God made this boy. God made my son. God made so many around the world. More and more people are finding out as society has moved forward and understood that people who are different maybe for a reason. And we're not just going to categorize everyone as this like disablement, that we could actually maybe understand where people are coming from. But, you know, we're finding out more and more people are neurodivergent. There are some are autistic, and it is a spectrum. There are differences, you know. Obviously, this child is verbal. You know, he's able to articulate himself, and he sounds like he's articulating himself pretty well. Not every autistic kid can do that. And we're seeing so many within the charismatic world who are looking at things like autism and calling it a disease, calling it sin and something to be freed from. And even what Catherine Crick said of, you know, free you from every diagnosis, as if that's like some kind of chain to be released from. Doctors are helping. Psychologists are helping. You know what's not helping? A lot of people in the church. All right, I'm going to get real honest. I have heard the worst things about autism from Christians. I mean that. The worst things. I have been told by Christian leaders to just pray. Just pray and maybe my son could be healed. He just needs Jesus, Dean. He doesn't need to, you know, occupational therapy. He doesn't need, you know, these helps at his school. He doesn't need those things. He just needs Jesus. Christians have gotten this so wrong. John MacArthur being one of them. John MacArthur, in his book about counseling, talks about how all psychology is from Satan. Now, I don't think he's going to go around, you know, definitely not with the deliverance people. But I don't think he's going to be going around saying that every kid who's autistic is, you know, because of sin or something like that. And it's like something that they need to be freed from. And if they read their Bible more, you know, all of a sudden they're going to be healed. I don't think he would go that far. But it's that kind of stuff. And people, I keep on saying it, followers go further. You know, the followers of this lady must be just insane about this stuff. Let me be clear. Anyone in the charismatic world, this is child abuse. When you bring a child forward and you say, my son, what does he say? Like, let's make sure we say exactly what he says about it.
Is there anything you wanted to renounce?
I want to renounce a generational curse. My child is autistic and he has no brains at all.
He has no brains at all? I want to deal with this first because I'm so passionate about this. I don't want to, like, I want to move on after this. just because someone's brain works differently doesn't mean that they're not there. Autistic children are not vegetables. You know, it's not like they're in a coma and they need to be, you know, like just wake them up and all of a sudden they're going to be able to function the way that you and I do. This is abuse. Calling your kid brainless on a platform in front of thousands. Now, obviously, this dude has been through it. Like, all right, let's go and let's look how ridiculous this guy is, the actions. All right. Now, I'm not saying all you charismatics, we've talked about cessationism, continuationism, and, you know, I don't want to get into that whole thing, but can we all agree this guy is a complete fake? Like, look what he's doing. He's writhing. Is he the one with, you know, the demon of autism? No, but he's getting up there. He's performing. He tries to do a handstand. All right, this is how bad this guy is.
So
look at
illness.
Him.
I declare.
Oh, he's trying to do a handstand.
Three.
Can't do it, so he just falls over.
Leave him.
What an idiot! All right, I don't get, like, I don't name call on normal stuff, but I gotta say this is the most stupid thing I've seen in a long time. You get up there and you're already like, can you imagine what this guy's like as a father? As a father to his autistic kid, calling him brainless on a stage. What does he say when he's not on the stage? When he's not being careful about his words? Look how little his kid is. Look how little this guy is. And guys, it's not just these wackos. This happens in small, conservative, theologically conservative churches. It's gross. It's wrong. It's evil. There is nothing wrong with an autistic child. They don't need to be cured. Their brain works differently. You know why? Because God made them that way. Whose fault is this? Are you going to blame God and say he got it wrong, so we need to fix him? No, God created that child in that specific way. Their brain works slightly differently than you or I. It is not about vaccines. You know how many times I frickin' heard that? It's not about vaccines. It's not about iPad time. It's not about, you know, figure it out from one of these things. It is genetic. And it's just something that happens. And their brain works differently. It doesn't mean that they are less than. It doesn't mean that they are brainless. It doesn't mean that, oh, once they understand the gospel, they're just going to be completely different. If you have someone in your life that is like this, please report them to the government because they should not have that child. That child needs to be in an environment where they can be protected and loved. And yes, they have to learn. It's a thing I struggle with, okay? I understand the struggle of a parent trying to make sure that their child can behave, can understand, can grow, can learn, can function in this world. I get that. Guys, do you know how often I get screamed at? And it's not because my kid is just mean. It's not just because he's disobedient, rebellious, or there's some demon there. He just doesn't understand what is happening around him. Not in the same way that I do. And he can't communicate that. Can you understand how frustrating that would be? If you were stuck in this world that you did not understand and that did not understand you, and you want to communicate, everyone has a desire to communicate. They want to. It's why children, it's babies even screaming, right? They're communicating. They want to express something. They have a need. They want to express that. Everybody does. Could you imagine the torture it would be to not be able to communicate? To not be able to communicate effectively? Where's the love and the compassion of a Christian? Where's the love of Christ in saying, like, oh, you're brainless? And you just, there's a generational curse. There's nothing in the Bible about generational curses. And certainly nothing about it being like some kind of demon that you could just, like, you know, whatever, and witchcraft. Let's talk about Catherine Crick. All right, let's talk about this fake, this phony. All right, her story. Let's just read a few lines, shall we? Apostle Catherine was always hungering for more of God. In 2013, she came to Los Angeles from her hometown of Andes, New York, to pursue acting. What? I mean, like, come on. As soon as she arrived, her hunger for God increased. Of course it did. Probably also, you know, as she wasn't able to book some jobs. One day she encountered the power of God. Interesting. Witnessing deliverance, healing, and receiving prophetic words. As her eyes opened up to God's love like never before, she surrendered her life to him, giving him her dreams. Giving up acting. Her will and her plans. Her heart burned for people to experience the power of God here in America and all over the world. Apostle Catherine was at the time pursuing a career as a Christian singer or songwriter. Oh, a performer. 9 months after encountering God's power in 2015, she attended a conference where God used a prophet to prophesy to her. Which prophet? Which prophet was it? Don't worry about it. It was just a prophet. And there definitely was a prophecy. All right, you don't have to look it up. There's no proof of it, but God used a prophet to prophesy to her. And also, was this written by AI? 9 months after encountering God's power in 2015, she attended a conference where God used a prophet to prophesy to her. God has called you to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. You are called to reach the nations, and God will do many shocking miracles through you. Ooh, shocking. Upon hearing that word, she felt like Moses. Oh, don't worry, guys. She's not comparing herself to Moses. She just felt like Moses. Unqualified, unable to speak, and unable to picture herself ministering. But she had faith that God would equip her, and she wanted to obey him above all else. She obeyed God's call and put her music career pursuit aside. Oh, you know, she got a best-selling record, decided to follow Jesus anyway. Nope. She didn't get a record out. She was a failed musician, a failed actor, a failed performer, and now she's performing by taking autistic children, manipulating them and their families and their hopes. All right. Again, I am not devoid of understanding, you know, why someone would want their child to be able to communicate perfectly, to be able to understand things around them. I get that. I get the frustrations of trying to parent a child who doesn't obey all the time, who doesn't understand what's happening all the time. I understand it. But God has given you that child. And you have a responsibility to child them or to parent them in a way that is honoring to him and loving to that child. And she manipulates all of that so she can get views on YouTube. Oh, man. I wonder how many views this one's going to get. Is it going to get views like this? 185,000 views? This was last year. And can I zoom in? Yeah, I can zoom in. Oh, look at this. 185,000 views. Boy with autism set free. Wow. What a miracle. It's shocking for all of us at 5F Church. Let's do a little promotion with it. She's not an apostle. She's a fake. These parents are abusing their children by not giving them what they need in order for them to grow, by calling them brainless, by, I'm sure, all kinds of stuff that's happening behind the scenes. Christians, wake up. Start treating people in your church who might think differently than you, who might have a different way of understanding the world around you. Stop putting up with this crap. Call it for what it is. It is abuse. If you have someone in your church who is talking about how their child needs to be healed of autism or something like that, and they've just been praying and praying that God would heal their child, have a conversation with them. If they keep on doing it, I say call the government, because there's probably stuff going on. Yeah, I'm a little fiery about that one. I like Jeremy sent that. I don't think he knew the tidal wave of emotions that were causing me. But that is just the worst. What? Oh, and there's all kinds of other ones. You know, you could just go through. I'm sure there's probably hundreds of autistic children who have been healed. You know, and of course, just to make it clear, this guy, when he's talking about it, he's saying like, oh, you know what? You know, I've been through this before and this generational curse just won't lift. In other words, my kid is still autistic. It's almost as if it's genetic or something. Fakes. Bunch of fakes. Now, this isn't to say that everyone with faith healing and different things is the same. This is not to paint a brush and say every charismatic is like that. But if you're charismatic, call this evil out, please. Would you? If you've been in the Hillsong orbit, would you please go online and start calling this for what it is, abuse? Please do that. All right. Let's talk about something that's more fun. All right, we're back. We're back with Underdogology. Oh man, that sucks. All right. Let's talk about something. All right, let's talk about things going on in the church. And you know, some people are leaving the church. Maybe it's over stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of different things that are going on in this world right now, where just it's the boiling point of so many issues. Like, we're talking about sexuality and gender. We're talking about, you know, even again, still the inerrancy of scripture. We're talking about how do women relate to the church? We're talking about evolution. We're talking about all these different issues, so many issues that are at the forefront of people's thought processes right now. And then you add on hypocrisy in the church, or a focus on politics within the church, or just a lack of clear focus on the gospel. And so many people are leaving church right now. And we talked about that here on my channel quite a bit. You know, this is a safe place. Some people make fun of me for saying that, but I don't care. It is a safe place for us to talk about these issues, to raise questions, to have conversations, and even to be honest about some of the things that we're seeing in the church. And like, I'm talking about capital C church, like, and then, you know, obviously local congregations. But here comes John Piper clip. Here comes a John Piper clip. And everyone is upset again about what he has to say about the connection of the church to your salvation. And there are people who have left the church who still profess to be, you know, believers, and they love Jesus, and they're following after Jesus. And there are many different reasons maybe of why they're doing it. I'm not saying it's necessarily right. I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong, but they have. And then people are sharing clips like this. All right. So there's a clip that has been going around about John Piper, and it's an old interview. It's an old interview from 2015, but there's a clip where he's basically saying, actually, let me pull up the clip first, and then we'll talk about like the context of it. All right, so let's go over here, and yeah, all right, let's listen in on this little conversation that was had. And should be good.
Go. Pastor John, I'm not walking away from Jesus, but I'm done with the church. Can't trust the leadership, held this guy in high esteem. So I'm not going to walk away from Jesus, but I'm done with the organized aspect of church. Yeah,
if you do that, you're walking away from Jesus.
Yeah, good word.
Here's the reason. To say that I love Jesus, but I don't submit to his word is a lie. He who loves me will keep my words. Jesus founded the church. I didn't. Paul didn't. Jesus founded the church.
Go. Pastor John, I'm not walking away from Jesus.
Okay. One, Brian, thanks for watching my stuff. I saw that. like this little screen recording of what he was watching, and oh, up next there's a Dean Lentini video. I was just saying, okay, but basically what he's saying is, if you walk away from church, you have walked away from Jesus. All right, now I want to do, before we dive into that idea, I want you to understand the context. All right, this is not talking necessarily about what people are going through today and what they've been experiencing. You know, this leaving from the church is happening all across North American culture. This was specifically about Mars Hill. This was in 2015. This was after everything happened with Mark Driscoll, and he left and went down to Arizona to plant his church after, you know, running away from church discipline. Very manly. So he ran away, and so everyone's going like, what do we do with this? And John Piper was one of the guys who kind of brought Mark Driscoll into the fold as far as like TGC circles and having him speak with Desiring God stuff and kind of pushing him a little bit and in a way mentoring him. And so a lot of people were like looking to John Piper and saying like, how do you respond to all these things? You know, like, what should we do about Mark Driscoll? And that's what this conversation was. I do want to note, all right, the guy who's interviewing him is Norm Funk. Norm Funk was the pastor at Westside Church in Vancouver, here in Canada. I don't want to go into details because you guys don't know him and whatever. He's not devoid of his own issues, okay? Like, I'll just say that there's stuff. You can go on Twitter. There's stuff. All right. So there's that. And he was asking John Piper about Mark Driscoll and then him leaving. And because of the hurt that was caused from Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill, this is the response that John Piper has about what to do with that hurt and everything.
That whether, Christ is proclaimed, whether good motives or bad motives, I rejoice. So one way to process Mars Hill or any other ministry that has defective, whether the defect implodes like Mars Hill or not, whether defect to say, God is unbelievably merciful to use you and me with our defects to speak gospel truth. And so put it in that category of, if you think Mark was defective in some biblical ways of leadership, which I think is true, and I think he admits are true, then you got to have a category for gospel faithfulness in defective containers. We have a beautiful, glorious treasure in a broken clay pot that can be worse than some people think it can be. That's the second thing I'd say. A third thing I'd say is, don't throw the baby of truth out with the bathwater of sin. Jesus, to walk away from Jesus because Jesus' representatives are failures is to make an absurd choice. Jesus is our only hope. That he has bad representatives, including me at times, doesn't make Jesus defective.
You hear that,
Jesus,
Luke?
Jesus is the one person in the universe who has no defects. He has no failures. If you walk away from the one person who has no failures because his representatives have failures, you're walking away from the one hope of your life. That's the main thing I think I'd say. Don't walk away from Jesus. And the last thing that comes to my mind is that when I look at history, and I know I'm thinking centuries, God must be the kind of general over his army that willingly accepts tactical defeats for strategic victories. That was a defeat. That was a tragedy. The debacle in Seattle is a tragedy from untold angles. Lots of people hurt. It was a defeat for the gospel. It was a defeat for Mark. It was a defeat for evangelicalism. It was a defeat for Reformed theology, for complementarianism. It was a defeat. There's just no, not trying to whitewash anything. It was a colossal satanic victory. And the general is not out of control.
Yeah, amen.
The general didn't say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do in the Northwest now. I don't have Martin Driscoll anymore. Right. I just have a clue what I'm going to do in North America now. He's not, he didn't drop the ball. He's not sweating. He's not anxious. He doesn't know. He is totally in charge of this war. He permitted a tactical defeat for the gospel. He has done it. I mean, just picture the entire swath of North Africa used to be pervasively Christian.
Let me just stop this for a second. All right. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about Piper and how I don't think he understands emotions as well as he says he does. Like, cause he is the guy, you know, like, let the nations be glad, you know, like he writes a book on it. He's always talking about joy and even he's got books about like depression and grief. And he's one of those guys that talks a lot about emotions within evangelicalism. But then he's just like kind of devoid from like how people actually process those emotions. Like, do you think that someone in Seattle, which I always got to do it, shout out. Do you think someone from Seattle is like would listen to this and be like, oh, well, I guess what I went through was just a tactical defeat that God put me in. Like as if like that's going to be comforting in any way. there's like this emotional dissonance, right? Like, it's just like, he talks about it and he's like, yeah, lots of people got hurt, but you know, and then he acts like there's just like, just get over it. Like that's kind of what I hear. It was just like a tactical defeat. God's still going to use somebody, right? Like, he doesn't need Mark Driscoll. And that's so true. Theologically, it is true, but pastorally, talking to those people. And that's kind of like the whole vibe of this video. Was very much of like, how do we get through the situation? Like, what do we do about this? And it was very much like aimed for the people of Seattle, for the Mars Hill people. And I think by application to today, we could talk about it like being, you know, a lot of you guys went through something like that. You guys have told me, you guys have sent me messages about things that have happened at your churches or things that you've gone through, things that you've seen, the hypocrisy and all of that. Like, it's not just Driscoll, it's all over the place. So like for us in application, like how do we get through that? Well, you know, just understand that God's still in control. Well, yeah, like any Christian who reads their Bible knows that. Like it's of course God is still in control. Someone, I think it was Heidi, said something about like the militant language. Yeah, there's always like throwing that in for some reason. But let's go with his metaphor of a general. Like, we get that he's still going to win the war, but it sucks. Like, it's really bad. And it causes people to really question things that aren't, you know, questioning Jesus, not questioning the validity of Scripture, not questioning the resurrection. Like, you still believe in the gospel. But you're looking at churches, and all your life you were told churches are good. That guy in the pulpit, he's a good man. He's a godly man, a godly leader that you should follow. And then something happens to show you that man is so flawed, and maybe even in some cases was lying this entire time, was a completely different person. What are you supposed to do with that? Well, God is sovereign. Okay, yes, we could take some assurance in that, but it doesn't, it's not a band-aid that we could just like put over this like issue that we've had, this conflict, this real deep pain and hurt. Like, yes, it helps us to logically understand that, but there's an emotion that's attached to that logic too. What do you do with that emotion? And so this is the context for what he's talking about.
Totally Muslim. Almost the entire Middle East has Christianity that went back way before Muslims came on the scene. now predominantly Islam. What's God doing?
Right.
I mean, is he in charge of the world or what? I mean, how can he give that kind of tactical defeat to the Middle East and to North Africa? I mean, Seattle is small potatoes. Hmm. North Africa, that's pretty big.
Oh, like, this is the stuff, guys. This is the stuff that it's just like, yeah, the little clip. People are talking about the little clip. But when you understand the little clip in its context, it's like, oh, dang. Like, just being like, well, what happened in Seattle isn't a big deal. What happened in Africa? That's what really matters. Kind of reminds me of that Joel Webbin thing of like, oh, well, you know, like, you know, why would you go to Timbuktu with the gospel? It's not going to have that big of an impact. You go over to this slightly bigger city, but not too big because the gospel is not powerful enough for Manhattan. You know, like, it's, what are you talking about? People are people. People have emotions. People have been hurt. Like, speak to that.
At least that's pretty big. Turkey. First Peter was written to Turkey. Christians everywhere in Turkey. Today, 52 million Muslims. And a tiny little handful of Christians. Is God in charge? I'm totally convinced God's in charge. He knows what he's doing.
We all are.
In this world. So for those reasons, yeah. I don't think people should walk away from Jesus or Reformed theology or complementarianism or the church.
Specific to that, they go, Pastor John, I'm not walking away from Jesus, but I'm done with the church. Can't trust.
Here we go.
The leadership held this guy in high esteem. So I'm not going to walk away from Jesus, but I'm done with the organized aspect of church life.
If you do that, you're walking away from Jesus.
Yeah, good word.
Here's the reason. To say that I love Jesus, but I don't submit to his word, is a lie. He who loves me will keep my words. Jesus founded the church. I didn't. Paul didn't. Jesus founded the church. He established apostles to be, according to Ephesians 2:20, the foundation of the church. And then he built it with prophets and teachers and pastors and ordained that there be a structure of local churches in the body of Christ called the church. This is not man's idea. There are a lot of young evangelicals who are cool, hip, and leftward-leaning who think they can substitute something for organized church. Well, I would have to look at what they're substituting and say, well, really, are you just creating church? Trying to create church? If you're trying to create church...
I really don't understand. Like, John Piper is a super smart guy, but I do not understand that left turn toward like, oh, trendy stuff. Like we need real old school church. like what? This is so weird to me. But here, that's the bottom line is what he's trying to say is that if you leave the church, you don't belong to Jesus because you're walking away from Jesus. And with his theology and my theology as well, the perseverance of the saints, like that he's saying, if you walk away from Jesus, that means you weren't. So like, and he ties it to this obedience to Jesus's words, like, because Jesus founded the church, right? So you have to obey Jesus because perseverance of the saints. Like, and if you like, all these things just come together in this, basically this way of saying, if you leave church, you're disobeying Jesus. If you disobey Jesus, you're not a Christian. Like, you're walking away from Jesus. That's what he's saying. Guys, this is lordship salvation. Like, this is what MacArthur teaches. It's weird to hear it from Piper, but it's there. He's basically saying that a Christian cannot disobey Christ. Or at least something that's clearly said in his word. But there's also the fact, like, we have one verse that talks about, like, the requirement of assembling with the church. And that is, do not forsake. That's why everyone's been saying it over the last couple of years. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. That's to give up on. And I think that if you have completely given up on church, I think that there's a bigger issue. If you are going through a period where you've been so hurt by the Mark Driscolls of the world, by the pastors who turned out to be fakes, by the leaders within the church who were abusive, by the hypocrisy that you see, like that, if you're taking a break, I feel like that's very different than like neglecting that it is just, I don't care. I don't want to be there. I don't, like, you have no reason. Like that, I believe that's what Paul is talking. Paul, you heard me? Paul talking about in Hebrews, that do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Just don't give up on the church. We should not give up on the church. Even if you can't find a good church, don't give up on the idea of the church. Like, don't give up on that. I think that's biblical. But even, like, we all know that Christians can go on sinning for an extended period of time. Like, we know that. Now, my theology dictates, and I do believe that it's biblical, that eventually, yes, you will come back. Like, you will repent of that sin eventually. But we don't know what that time frame is going to be. You know, this is the kind of thing that says, like, okay, well, you had, like, for young men, there might be a particular sin, and it's women too, but a particular sin online. You know what I'm talking about. We got the kiddies hanging out, so we're not going to get too deep into it. But we know that there might be a sin that specifically young men and women deal with, and they have to overcome, and our culture doesn't care about it right now, but it is a sin. Like, we know, like, that there might be an extended period of time. Are we saying that those people aren't saved? I don't think that's what John's talking about. I think it's about people who sin and they don't care. They sin and there's no guilt. Well, if there's no guilt, then there's no Holy Spirit there. But if there is guilt and you feel that need to repent of your sin, I think that's evidence of the Holy Spirit being active in your life. And for you, thinking about, like, if you hate the church, like if you hate the idea of assembling with other Christians, and you're just, I will never go back to that. Well, then I'm not going to say you're not saved, but I want to have a conversation about it. I want to understand where you're coming from. I think it's a very concerning thing. But if you're going through a hard, difficult time and you're like, well, I went through all this pain and all this hardship. I just can't risk that right now. I don't want to risk that. We have three options for a church in our town and each of the options sucks. And we all know that happens. That happens. There are places. Why do you think I'm planting a church here? Like, I don't want to get too deep into it and, like, whatever. There's a reason. Like, we all know that there are places where you just can't find, like, a good, sound, biblical church that with authentic people who are following Christ, who aren't focused on politics, who aren't focused on calling autism satanic, who you know, really value the word of God. Like, yeah. And again, real about it. Not just like, oh, we wear ties on Sunday. You my Chick-fil-A. You know, like, we're not doing that. There are plenty of places around the world where you cannot find a good church. So, like, maybe you need to start it. Maybe you need to move. Maybe you need to do something. But if you've just given up on the church and you're saying, like, basically, like, forget you to the church, like, there's a bigger problem there. But I wouldn't even say, like, that means that you definitely are not a Christian. But that's what Piper is saying, because he is saying that you have to obey Christ in order for you to be a follower of Christ without any kind of, like, well, there might be a period where you don't. Scripture says that there might be a period where you don't, but Piper is saying no. Like, that's where he's at. This is that lordship salvation. You cannot be saved unless you submit yourself to the lordship of Christ, which sounds great, right? That sounds right. But when you actually think about it and you're like, oh, so the moment that I'm not submitting to the lordship of Christ because I'm a sinner who still has a sin nature, like Paul talks about, like, I still have that. As soon as I give in to that nature, well, you know, you're not a Christian anymore. That's lordship salvation. Like, or like, if you give into it, then, and they'll never say, oh, it's just the one time. That doesn't mean anything. But if you continue, and they'll never put a thing on that of continue of what, how long? Is it 6 times? 70 times 70? How many times? Like, they won't say that. They won't nail it down too much, but they'll say, okay, if you walk away from the church, you're walking away from Jesus, as if they are the same thing. And while He is the head of the church. Jesus is not the church in that way. All right. I know some of you guys are going to get upset about that, but he is the second person of the Trinity. He has given us the church. He established the church. These things are all true, but we know that men fail. Plenty of churches, example, plenty of churches have no Jesus in it, right? And even the ones that talk about solid theology and they say that, you find out no Jesus there. Like, so we need to be very careful about how we talk about these things and saying, like, walking away from the church is walking away from Jesus. What happened at that church? Maybe that's a question that should be, you know, dived into. You know, what happened at that church? What happened to make you think that you need to walk away from the church? Maybe we should go into that a little bit before we just say, well, if you walk away, you're not a Christian anymore. And again, he's talking about the people at Mars Hill. He's talking about people with Mark Driscoll.
Biblically, right. Start a biblical church. And that means listening to your master and his word and his apostles. So the choice of Jesus over church implies a choice of your opinion over the Bible. Because the Bible is where we meet Jesus. You can't make Jesus up. You can't make him up.
No.
He is the Jesus of the Bible, or he's the Jesus of your imagination. If he's the Jesus of the Bible, you take the whole Jesus. You can't carve him up in pieces. And the whole Jesus is the Jesus who loves the church. He died for the church.
That's very similar, almost word for word, of what I've heard John MacArthur say about, you know, you have to accept him as Lord. Like, it's just odd, because I don't think John Piper has ever affirmed lordship salvation. I don't think he's ever done that. But I mean, it sounds almost exactly the same. He's just given an example of what category he's talking about. Just odd, very odd for me. Let's see what you guys are saying here. Sarah says, hi, Dean. Love how you're extracting the legalism out of the gospel. I appreciate that. Hey. Hi, first time catching you live. That's awesome. Let's say hi to you. Someday I'm gonna work on this, okay, guys? We got sound effects, but apparently not on this one. I had to revamp everything for, you know, the screen that I got behind me. But let's see. I saw Jeremy left something. If the church is the body of Christ, doesn't that mean we could still gather with other believers and that be the church? Yes. Yes. Like it's interesting to me of three people who call themselves a church plant that's okay. Like, that's a church plant. Three people who meet on Sundays because they left their church and they've been hurt and they're meeting together for fellowship, not a church. Like, so if you have the business cards that say you have a church plant going on, acceptable. If you don't, not acceptable. like there are ways that we can still, like, if you have given up on the fellowship with other believers and you're just saying, I just don't want that, I think that there's a bigger issue. I wouldn't put it as strongly as saying you're just not a Christian, but I would want to have conversations about why you say that, what you mean by that, where are you going with this? Those things need to be said. But Piper, he'll just make a video and just say it in a video of, well, get over it, because the general, you know, signed you up to lose this battle, and you just need to, you know, get over it and, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get back to the next congregation. Who knows if you're going to be hurt again, but, you know, whatever. RJ says, I know more people who are grieved by the state of the church and hate the church. Yeah, there are tons of people. And I'm not saying, like, everyone's right, by the way. Like, not everyone who says, like, oh, the church hurt me, you know, that it's, oh, okay, that's valid for, you know, whatever they do about that hurt. That's not what I'm saying. But can we at least, like, deal with people and talk with people like human beings and not just be like, you know, like, what someone else was putting it, like, calling people potatoes is a little weird, right? like that example that Piper gave. But yeah, it's just so odd. Mary is here and says, I was in a great church, but we folded mostly due to financial reasons. We are looking for another. Yeah. A lot of people are looking for a new church right now. It's a big deal. Joseph, hey, I have left churches before and have been told this. I have come to a point where even though the church isn't perfect, it's Christ's bride, and so I will press forward. Blessed to have found a new church. Yeah, that's awesome, man. I'm glad you found a church. And yeah, a lot of people have been told similar things. You know, it's and people are expecting, okay, it's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks since you left your last church. You need to be in a church right now. As if you're going to leave the faith. That's something I've heard, you know, like it's just like, okay, you left one church, so you're going to leave the faith if you're not in another church. Not necessarily. I think that there is safety in numbers, right? Like there's safety in being part of a congregation and having that accountability as well as just that protection of being with other Christians. But it doesn't mean like, you know, I hear stuff like the lone wolf is the one easily most hunted or something like that. You know, I forget exactly what that was. But like, basically, if you're on your own, it's only a matter of time before you get like, you know, the darts of the evil one, you know, take you down, like stuff like that. It's just, well, I think it happens in churches too. So it's 9:30 in Germany. Wow. Interesting. Mimi's here and says, when people leave the church, does anyone call them and tell them they're there for them and talk to them if they want? I'll just speak from my own personal experience. There was one man when I left the IFB world. There was one man from my church, an older man who I was friends with. And again, like I was supposed to take over this church. So like there's a whole backstory to that thing. But there was one man who called me. That's it. So it like a lot of people have been through it and there's nothing. You like pull away and you're just like taking a breath and all of a sudden you're gone from that church because no one cares. Like, so how about we just like care about people and reach out to them when we know that they're going through hard times? All right. Let's go to the penalty box. Oh, we got to do the intro.
You want to see a penalty? I'll show you a real penalty. Get out of my face, man.
All right. That's for later. Oh, you got a sneak peek, guys. All right. Let's deal with the first one.
2 minute minor trip. And there's a call.
All right. You know it's going to be fun when we see the Chosen pop up. All right. So you're a bigoted atheist. Right off the bat, just Aaron Barlow coming in hot. So you're a bigoted atheist. Wow, big surprise. The show is insanely good. Worshiping Jesus is a key part of Christianity. What are you on about? Guys, once again, this is the clip that I made where I was answering a question about why I don't watch The Chosen. All right. And all I said was that I don't watch The Chosen. I didn't say you can't watch The Chosen. I didn't say it was like the worst show ever. I just said I don't like Christian entertainment very much. And, you know, some things about, you know, breaking one of the Ten Commandments, maybe, like because of graven image stuff might be an issue for some people. And apparently that makes me a bigoted atheist. This is how you know, like just YouTubers, for those who have channels, some of you guys watch my stuff. This is how you know shorts aren't worthwhile. Like this person, like obviously hasn't seen anything else. Like and they had no reason to come and check out my channel or get any info about who I am. They just see this thing where I'm like, I don't like The Chosen. And they're like, bigoted atheist. Oh, man. Yeah, Michael. Welcome to underdog atheism. Yeah, I guess so. Just because I don't like The Chosen. Interesting. Very interesting to me. All right, next up.
There's the whistle. There's no excuse there. He knows that whistle's been blown.
All right, I've gotten this a few times before the Andy Stanley stuff. Now people won't probably send me that, at least for a little while. So this is on the short that I made. John MacArthur calls all psychology satanic, which is true. It's in like the intro. So like it's not hidden somewhere deep in the book. It's not something that I'm reading into. You can go. You could read this book on counseling. And John MacArthur's chapter right off the bat talks about how it's all satanic. So you can go and read that. But LOSA, they decided that they were going to put this in a comment. Only a matter of time before you start supporting Eldururu, if it is not that you already do. You want to be like the world so bad. Call me Fundy or whatever. Is there supposed to be a slash? Or whatever, but I've seen plenty of your content, and you just like to blend in with the world and then try to play it off with your, oh, my feelings are so hurt, your big boy theology, hashtag Fundybait. Well, I think we know LOSA is a fundamentalist and, you know, wants to be called Fundy and, you know, just really wanted to get their face here on the channel. So you win. You win, LOSA. You get to be on the channel. Are you excited? Was it fun? Was it the best thing to happen to you today? I hope not. I hope you're actually having a pretty good day. But come on, man. Let's try not to read the worst of motivations into people when they're talking and to just assume that someone disagrees with you, which means that they must be the ultimate form of some other idea. They must be like the super liberals if they don't agree with every conservative aspect of your theology or your line of thinking on politics or whatever. Let's not just assume that like the swing of the pendulum must be true, you know, like let's not do that. So like, I don't do that with fundamentalists. I call them fundamentalists. So sorry. And I call them fundies because it's just fun. Like, it's a funner way to say fundamentalists. If I had to say fundamentalists every time I talked about fundamentalists, that would be so boring. It would just be like fundamentalist, like you realize how far, like how many times I would trip over my words. No, I'm not doing that. I'm going to call them fundies. I'm going to call them fundies all day long. And, you know, you fit right in with them too. All right. Let's deal with the next one.
2 minutes for slashing and 2 minutes for roughing.
All right. This is a twofer. Gotta deal with the twofer. Sunshine. this just brought me back to Remember the Titans. This is Sunshine, and Sunshine says, Dean, you still rambling on about MacArthur? Let it go, brother. You're wasting your platform and precious time that could be spent spreading the gospel message, saving lives for eternity. As if I can do that. Nobody saves people. It's just Jesus, you know? So like, my channel isn't going to save anybody. But instead you're nitpicking about everything you don't like or think is wrong with everything else. Focus on what's really important. Yeah. Like this comment, it's definitely not nitpicking and it's definitely not, you know, coming at me in any way. Like, it's just like, oh, it's just such a nice thing to say. Yeah. It's not nitpicking. It's not belittling. Nope, not definitely not, Sunshine. And then in another comment, they were just on a rampage. All right, Dean, you're rambling again. Valid. I ramble a lot. Rambling again. It's obvious you're not a MacArthur fan. What? Oh, come on. Like, why do you even have to say this? Yes. How many times do I have to say it? I don't like John MacArthur's theology. I don't like John MacArthur's views on counseling. I am not a fan of John MacArthur. It's very clear on my channel, as if that's some kind of dig. Just come out and say it. I just did, and I've done it so many times. By the way, BT Dubs, the most insecure people are the ones nitpicking at the flaws of everyone else. You do realize what you're doing, right? All right. MacArthur's faithful 50 plus year ministry speaks for itself. All right. I am so tired of hearing that. That church has put that out so much of like, oh, look at these 50 years of faithfulness. Let's not talk about anyone who's had issues in the past. Let's not talk about any of the scandals in the past. Let's not talk about how there was almost a church split, how a lot of those elders just left Christianity altogether. I wonder why that happened. Let's not talk about anything that's going on with Eileen Gray. Let's not talk about any of the Han Cho stuff. Like, let's just, nope, we don't need to talk about any of that kind of stuff. It's just faithfulness. Dang it. I don't know. About that. Move past it, brother. I'll try. All right, let's have some more fun.
And bring it on down to
Fundy. I forgot that I have it this way now. Just a second, let me load it. I forgot. I can't. I'm trying to do everything on one computer now instead of bringing in my iPad to do all this kind of stuff. So I gotta go and I gotta find it. All right, let's have some fun. Let's listen to just one of these great old sermons. All right. Boom.
And teachers' opinions. You got that right. Repugnant to the established faith. Contrary to the doctrines of Scripture, which is the only rule of faith and practice.
He's defining
here.
That's
Noah 1828, Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, which I like. Amen. And then I went a little step further. So that's what a heretic is. So what is heresy?
Okay.
Let me give you this definition.
All right, give it to
heresy
me.
Is a fundamental error or an error of opinion respecting some fundamental doctrine of religion. It is opinions that differ from the opinion of that local church.
What?
It consists of denying full or in part essential doctrines and then publicly and obstinately maintaining that opinion.
All right, I think I know where this is going.
It didn't get confusing for you. What he is saying in simple terms is that somebody that is promoting heresy mm-hmm. can be simply defined as someone who is holding a different opinion in contradiction to the church and its agreed upon opinion. Now we could switch those words out, opinion, for belief or doctrine, but that's what it's meaning. Amen. So very simply and carefully, if you have a differing view than this body, if you do not want to be labeled a heretic, keep your mouth shut. Again, I don't know of anything going on at all. I'm just preventing anything from ever happening. If you want to get in trouble, open your mouth and go against the direction of this church, and you'll find out what trouble is.
Oh, I'll beat you up, you heretic. Okay, so this is evangelist Keith Boyles, which is, oh man, evangelists coming in and talking about like how the church relates to one another is always like my favorite thing because they have no clue. Like they're most of these evangelists, they have no tether to an actual local church other than like that they have a church sometimes that sent them, you know, but just that's not what heresy is. Like, also, how condescending was that? Like, let me put it in simple terms. Just be quiet, guys. I gotta explain it for the dum-dums in the back. You know, like, just what? Like, I think people understood what you were saying. But heresy is just this local church. If we agree about something and you go outside of that, then you're a heretic. No, you got to deny the faith. You got to deny the faith. You got to deny the creeds, the established theology of the capital C church, you know, not Roman Catholic, the capital C church, not local congregations, capital C church, not just, oh, okay, well, you know, if like, what is that then? Women wearing pants, heresy. Like, just anything, just like that. Like, this guy looks like he's about to go WWE, right? Like, he's just like full on WWE. Like, I'm fully expecting like Chris Jericho to come from the back and like just spear him or something. Like, he's just like, you'll see what trouble is. Like, okay, that's how you keep people in line, you know, that's how you prevent things from ever happening, which is maybe the most honest thing that I've heard in a long time from the Fundy world. Just like, yeah, I know what you're trying to do. You really are trying to make sure nothing ever happens so that people can just be quiet, so they can be scared that Evangelist Keith Voiles will come back to our church and he will punch me in the face. He will go full on Saint Nick on me. Like Arius, he's just going to punch me because I'm a heretic, so I can't say anything about our church's agreed upon opinions. Oh my goodness. These guys. Let's hop into the chat again, just see what you guys are thinking about all this stuff. Oh man. Someone got saved is not a reason to not address abuse. 100%. Yeah. Mary says, I've got some issues with J-Mac. Lots of issues. I think a lot of us do, at least people on this channel, except for the one guy who hit the dislike button. Also, if you're here and you haven't hit the like button, please do it. Please, please. You know, it really helps. Makes a difference. Carol says, John needs to come clean. He never confessed his sins. He never admits to his wrong. He has three homes. He doesn't know hardship. I'm not going to get on a guy about being successful. You know, like, he has written a lot of books. He could do what he wants with his money. It's just, I don't know about suffering, except for, you know, lately he's been persecuted because, you know, he put out his documentary. There's all kinds of persecution, I guess. Also, they made a lot of money off the documentary, but that's beside the point. Winsome's here and says, it's interesting how the MacArthurites who tout Mac's 50 years of faithful ministry are the first to criticize his critics for picking on something he did 20 to 30 years ago. Yeah, it's just like almost like there isn't actually 50 years of faithful ministry. There's 50 years of ministry, and I'm not saying like all of it was unfaithful. I'm just saying like there were some pretty big mistakes, you know? And if someone, like honestly, if John MacArthur were to come out and just say like, I was wrong about how I dealt with some of these counseling situations, and I've been too strong about some things, like that would do a lot of good, I think. But yeah, not going to happen. Mr. Fundy, have you read from the Bible yet? No, it's Webster's Dictionary, but it's the one that he really likes. So there's that. Caleb's here. It says Fundyville may be my favorite segment. It's just fun. We just have a good time with it. Bad things have happened at Grace. They never say anything. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard. Yeah. Caleb says, I just noticed the cartoon guy in a sweater vest. Oh, with Fundyville. Do you know who that is? If you know who that is, you know, you were a real Fundy. Like you know, that was legit. You're an OG Fundy. If not, you're not really a Fundy at all. As if that's something that we all want. I can't spell. Everyone remember, I'm not the biggest fan of John, but we are the same at the foot of the cross, no matter how much success or hardship we've gone through. That is true. But, you know, we still got to deal with things that we see here in this life and how people are behaving and the things that they do. And yeah, we got to deal with that stuff. Caleb says, man, he needs to turn it down from 10 to about 5 or 6 at least. Don't need to be so punchy while explaining definition. I feel tense just by his tone. Well, that's how evangelism works, don't you know? That's how, like, that's how you know you're a good evangelist. If it sounds like you're about to, like, go into, and I'll see you on Sunday. What? Oh, man. he's just throwing out red meat for the audience he's preaching to. Yeah, you know, just getting all his fanboys in a frenzy. What? You're from Norway? That's so cool. Hi. I've been out of church for 8 years now, but I haven't walked away from the faith. There continues to be so many contributing factors to my situation, including church trauma and health issues. I appreciate that. You know, we all go through different issues, and yeah, there might be extended periods of times, especially when it comes to health issues. Like, come on, guys. Like, we don't, like, we do it with age. Like, if you're like 70, it's just all of a sudden okay for you not to be at church. Like, come on. If it's okay for a 70-year-old because they can't make it out or whatever in the winter, you know, like, like, there's obviously a line of where it's acceptable. So where, like, where can we be acceptable in those things? It's not objective is what I'm trying to say. But you know, for those guys, it just is. We were just missing the Steven Anderson jumping in that video. Like, you know, it kind of sounded like he was like, I don't know, would it be like the WWE style of like all of a sudden Steven Anderson comes out and he's just like, ah! You know, like, I don't know. That's all. My mind is just always back there at WWE. Yep. All right, guys, that's the show today. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. It's good to be back. It's good to have, you know, even though we started off with a rough one, to be honest, like that kind of stuff really just like makes me so sad for how the church acts toward people who just are, their minds work a little bit differently. And there's just no compassion for some of those situations, at least in that world. And again, it's not to say that every charismatic is that way. I'm just saying like that charismatic is. And she has a lot of influence, even if she was just supposed to be an actor. But all right, guys, let me know what you guys think in the comments section for anyone on the rewatch. You know, hop down there. I'd love to hear what you actually think about some of this stuff. I'll try to interact as much as I can, and I will be back later on in the week with some more stuff. We'll talk about whatever. I don't know. It's probably going to be about, I don't know. Who's going to do something? Let's make a prophecy. A prophet once prophesied to me and said,